ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। सो दिस इवनिंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भगवद गीता चैप्टर 4 टेक्स्ट 3 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड ट्रांसेंडेंटल नॉलेज। सह स एवायं मया तेद्य योग प्रोक्त पुरातनः भक्तोऽसि मे सखा चेति रहस्यं ह्येतद् उत्तमम्। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: that very ancient science of the relationship with the Supreme is today told by me to you, because you are my devotee as well as my friend and can therefore understand the transcendental mystery of this science. Purport: there are two classes of men, namely the devotee and the demon. The Lord selected Arjun as the recipient of this great science owing to his being a devotee of the Lord. But for the demon, it is not possible to understand this great mysterious science. There are a number of editions of this great book of knowledge. Some of them have commentaries by the devotees and some of them have commentaries by the demons. Commentation by the devotees is real, whereas that of the demons is useless. Arjun accepts Sri Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and any commentary on the Gita following in the footsteps of Arjun is real devotional service to the cause of this great science. The demoniac, however, do not accept Lord Krishna as he is. Instead, they concoct something about Krishna and mislead general readers from the path of Krishna's instructions. Here is a warning about such misleading paths. One should try to follow the disciplic succession from Arjun and thus be benefited by this great science of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Hare Krishna. So we welcome everyone to this evening class on Srimad Bhagavad Gita. So, we have just begun chapter 4, chapter which is entitled Transcendental Knowledge. And actually the foundation for what Krishna is saying in this particular verse to Arjun, Prabhupada has given us a hint of this right in the purport to the first verse. So, in the purport to the first verse, Krishna, Srila Prabhupada mentions that the kings of all the planets, or for that matter states, are especially meant for the protection of the inhabitants from material bondage to lust. Human life is meant for cultivation of spiritual knowledge in eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the executive heads of all states and all planets are obliged to impart this lesson to the citizens by education, culture, and devotion. In other words, the executive heads of all states are intended to spread the science of Krishna consciousness. So, this is what Prabhupada is saying in the purport to the first verse of this particular chapter. So, now we are in this third verse. And what is Lord Krishna telling Arjuna? Lord Krishna is telling him that very ancient science of relationship with the Supreme, yoga prokta puratanaha. So this word puratanaha, it indicates how old this is, how puratan. Those who understand Hindi, they will understand. Puratan means something very ancient. So in the purport to the second verse, Srila Prabhupada gives a brief analysis of how old actually this knowledge is. And more than, he says, 2 million years ago, in the human society, this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita has been there since more than 2 million years ago, when this information was given by this particular science, was given by Manu to his son Ikshvaku. And even 5,000 years ago, Lord Krishna presented the same knowledge to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So, Krishna says that this old, very old, ancient knowledge, Puratana, and from the purport which Srila Prabhupada has given us, we have a brief understanding of how old this is in terms of something which we can quantify, 2,005,000 years. And again he states something else. He says, Rahasyam hi etat uttamam. So again, for those who understand Hindi, Rahasya is not a very big mystery. Rahasya is a very simple enough word. It's a mystery. Something which is Rahasyam is mystery. So other places also in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna classifies this knowledge as something as a, called a mystery. He says in 9th chapter, again he opens 9th chapter, first verse, he says, Idam tute guhyatamam pravakshyami anasuyave. So again he is telling the same thing. Idam tute guhyatamam. Idam, this guhyatamam, this knowledge which I am presenting you is guhyatamam. So just like in English you have something like secret, more secret and most secret. Similarly, in Sanskrit when you write, something is guhya, means it is confidential or secret. Then something which is guhyatara, means it is more secret or more confidential. And when somebody uses the word guhyatamam, so when it goes to that level, then it is the superlative, most confidential or most secret. So Krishna is using this superlative word, idam tute guhyatamam. And he says, pravakshami, I am telling you this. And he again clarifies why I am telling you this. Anasuyave, because you are absolutely free of envy. Because you are non-envious. Of whom? Of me. So Krishna is telling Arjun that I am telling you this topmost confidential knowledge because you are non-envious of me. So that place also Krishna is presenting qualification for a person to understand this secret or topmost secret knowledge. And in this particular word also he qualifies by presenting us why he is telling this particular rahasyam or this mystery to Arjuna. Why is he revealing this mystery to Arjuna? Because bhakto sime sakha cheti, because you are my devotee as well as my friend. So here we see that Krishna is presenting the qualifications for a person to understand this particular knowledge which is given in the Bhagavad Gita. He is telling you, we can understand that a person has to be non-envious. A person like Arjuna, who is non-envious, who is a friend and who is a devotee of Lord Krishna, only that such a person can understand the knowledge or the information given in Bhagavad Gita. So, if we see, this is not some ordinary or some mundane knowledge. Like we have so many colleges, so many schools, so many institutions of learning, and so many research centers where so much research is being carried on about various fields of knowledge. Like if you take general matter, so we are talking about solids, or say earth, panchabhuta, matter consists of earth, fire, water, air, ether. So if you are talking about solids or something which is from earth, then you have mechanical energy, applied mechanics, so many other fields which actually deal with this. We are talking about liquids, then it is hydraulics and so many other fields. we are talking about air or gases, then you have thermodynamics, and for fire you have pyrology. For ether also there is something else. For the mind you have parapsychology. Intelligence, there are so many ways to quantify intelligence. So if we see from the material perspective, the matter which is there, that is being studied in so many angles, so many ways, all over the world, in so many institutions of learning, research is being carried on, everything. But as we saw in the second chapter, where Krishna reveals what is our true nature to be the soul. We are not this body, we are the soul. But if we closely examine, even Prabhupada, on a visit to Boston, once in 1968, Srila Prabhupada visited Boston, which is the home of the famous Massachusetts Institute of Technology, considered to be the number one premier engineering institute all over the world. So during this visit, Srila Prabhupada, he spoke very boldly, and he challenged the very concepts underlying the existence of this particular great institution, so-called great institution of learning. So at that place, Srila Prabhupada, he says, where in this big university is a department for studying the technology of the soul, for understanding that principle which distinguishes a living body from a dead body, that principle which when present in the body gives life, and when absent brings death? Where is the science to study this all-important principle of life? Although scientists consider life to be merely chemicals or electric impulses, he argued, still they are unable to assemble the chemicals and produce life. Why is this? There is no department in this university for answering this question, and therefore people are in ignorance. They don't know the self, or the next life, or the purpose of human life beyond animal activities. This science, however, is taught in the Bhagavad Gita. So Srila Prabhupada is very emphatic, and he is not just saying it in his backyard or within his own circle of people, but he is going straight out to the so-called topmost university of education and understanding about all these material topics, whatever topics you can find within this material realm, and there he is challenging them, who is studying these particular topics. So knowledge of soul, which is known as jnana, and knowledge of soul's relationship with Krishna is vijnana. So this particular knowledge of this jnana and vijnana, what is our real identity, what is the soul, and what is the relationship of the soul with the super soul, the supreme personality of Godhead, these two topics are the most important topics to be understood, but sadly nobody cares to actually do any research or study. But in the Bhagavad Gita this knowledge is very easily available. So therefore, you see, even though this particular book is so much widely available, millions of copies of Bhagavad Gita as it is are distributed throughout the world every year. Not only this, there have been so many other editions of Bhagavad Gita which have been in existence even before Prabhupada went to the West. So if you see this particular information, the 700 shlokas in Bhagavad Gita, it's not that they are something which has stored in particular in some high security vault, you know, not accessible only by special permission, entry only for authorized personnel, nothing like that. It is very easily available. In fact, there are so many devotees who sponsor these particular books to be given out to those who cannot afford at very high prices. So this book per se is available. But still, Krishna says that this knowledge is rahasyam, it is guhyatamam. So, because Krishna says, this particular knowledge, Jai Shri Radha Gopinath ki Jai, this knowledge is top secret, even though it is so widely available. But still, by telling Arjuna that why he is qualified to hear this knowledge from him, Krishna reveals the secret behind how we can get this particular knowledge which is presented in the Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna says that because you are non-envious and because you are my friend and you are my devotee, therefore I am allowing you to understand this particular, or I am revealing this knowledge to you. So it is not that this is something which is being said only to Arjun. So therefore we have to understand, even Prabhupada writes in the preface to the Bhagavad Gita as it is, Prabhupada writes, before my presentation of Bhagavad Gita as it is, almost all the English editions of Bhagavad Gita were introduced to fulfill someone's personal ambition. Generally, the so-called scholars, politicians, philosophers, and swamis, without perfect knowledge of Krishna, try to banish or kill Krishna when writing commentary on Bhagavad Gita. So we have to understand that when somebody writes commentary on Bhagavad Gita, or someone purports or presents himself as a person who has understood the knowledge which is given in Bhagavad Gita, then these are the qualities which has to be manifested by that person. First of all, that person should not be envious of Krishna. Second, that person should be a devotee, or should be endeavoring on the path to become a devotee of Krishna. And of course, as he progresses, then he can develop relationship with the Lord in one of the five primary moods or rasas. So this person, or whoever is trying to establish himself as a person who is knowledgeable in the science which is presented in the Bhagavad Gita, he has to be a transparent via media. Like this particular example here, where Prabhupada says that so-called scholars, they try to banish or kill Krishna. Or rather, the English editions of Bhagavad Gita were introduced to fulfill someone's personal ambition. I had a very classic experience of this particular situation. Like if you ask any person who is just new to Bhagavad, to this devotional service, to the science of Krishna consciousness, and we ask, generally one of the first verses that a person hears is that the topmost verse, or the verse which summarizes the knowledge given in the Bhagavad Gita, or which is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. So generally, even a person who is coming new, if you ask that person who has done just a brief reading of the Bhagavad Gita, we ask some such person, so that person will say, yes, sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Even small children who are regularly coming to our temple, attending the Bhagavad Gita sloka classes by Gopal's Fun School, they also know this verse, and they will say, oh yes, this is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishyami masucha. So one of our ISKCON temples, one time they had invited an Ayurvedic doctor to give a short presentation about how to live a good balanced lifestyle based on Ayurvedic principles. So during the course of his presentation, this particular Ayurvedic doctor, he was speaking a lot of philosophy, specifically from the Bhagavad Gita. And he was quoting a lot of shlokas from Bhagavad Gita. I mean, he was quoting shlokas left, right and center. Even some of the devotees who were resident devotees in that temple, they were not aware of so many shlokas from Bhagavad Gita. They had not memorized so many shlokas. So they were very much impressed by this person's knowledge and depth of information from Bhagavad Gita. So after his presentation, everyone was very much impressed by the presentation also. One of the devotees, he went and he said, I mean, not as a, in a way that, let me test how much he knows or how much he has understood, but just as a curiosity, because he thought that this person is so scholarly, he has read the Bhagavad Gita so thoroughly. So just let me ask, what do you feel is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita? So this person, when he was asked, the Ayurvedic doctor, what is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita? So he quoted another verse from Bhagavad Gita. He said, Ayusattva balarogya sukha priti vivardhana rasya snigdha sthiras hridya ahara sattvika priya. I mean, this is not something which I am just making up. This is a very, I can give you names. I don't want to unnecessarily embarrass some people, but then this is something which this person, he actually quoted this verse. And first of all, that devotee had to think for a couple of seconds, what is this verse? And then he suddenly realized, he is talking about the qualities of food in the mode of goodness. Which foods are in the mode of goodness? And by eating which foods, the person will come in the mode of goodness. So therefore, this is so much clear here, what Prabhupada is saying here, that this is just a person who is, you know, studied Ayurveda and he understands this. But just imagine some scholars or politicians, like very, this is not exactly from the Bhagavad Gita, but you see, so many places, people use these verses or small parts of verses to fulfill their own desires. Like in from Bhagavad Gita, there is this, what is that? Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana paripasate. So what does it say? Ananyas chintayanto mam. Somebody who is continuously just absorbed in thinking about me. Ananyas chintayanto mam. Ye jana paripasate. For such a person, tesham nityabhyuktanam yogakshemam ahamyaham. For such a person, I provide what he lacks and I protect what he has. But there is one great commercial organization in India who have stolen two words from that verse as part of their logo. Yogakshemam vahamyaham. I provide what they lack and I protect what they have. So this is how people, you know, try to extract from particular verses. Even this is from 10th canto of Bhagavatam. In 10th canto of Bhagavatam, there is one verse in which there are two words. Sadrakshanaya khala nigrahanaya. I don't know how many of you all have noticed this, but one of the government organizations, very prominent government organization in Mumbai, they use this sadrakshanaya khala nigrahanaya. I used to wonder where they got this particular verse, these lines. And suddenly one time I was just going through this 10th canto of Bhagavad Gita, I was actually reading the verses, and suddenly I saw these two words. And I felt, my God, these people are just taking words from here, there, left, right and center. So therefore, this is what Prabhupada is saying. These people, generally so-called scholars, politicians, philosophers, say swamis, without perfect knowledge of Krishna, try to banish or kill Krishna when writing commentary on Bhagavad Gita. So we have to understand, this is not only something which is, you know, of recent manufacturing. This is not something which has come about recently. This is something which has been going on, especially the very determined effort to somehow destabilize the hold of the Vedic civilization or the Vedic culture upon the Indian population. Like, there is a very famous quote which is accredited to Thomas Macaulay. He was a person who, way back in 1835, long, long ago, even before 1857, the first war of Indian independence, long, long ago, when there was some faint hint of what is Indian culture existing even then. So this person, he reported back to the, UK Parliament, the British Parliament. And he said, he gave his presentation and he gave his recommendations about what has to be done If we really want to conquer this particular land called India. So he says, I have traveled across the length and breadth of India and I have not seen one person who is a beggar. Usually what we see beggars? We just see beggars who want some food or some money which you can give so that they, you know, they can buy food. But if we just, even recently we are covering in the Bhagavatam, in the morning, a series of verses which describe ideal family life. And as part of that, recently we just saw, wherein it says that even a person, a householder, if that householder has to first, before a householder sits down to eat in his home, he has to go out into the street and call out 3 times. Is there anyone hungry? Is there anyone hungry? Is there anyone hungry? And if nobody comes in response to his call, then he sits and eats. So this was the richness of the culture, the Bhagavat culture, the culture which is given by the Vedic literatures. So why there will be beggar? So therefore Macaulay, even just a hint of it, in 1835, Macaulay writes, I have not seen one person who is a beggar or who is a thief. Such wealth I have seen in this country, such high moral values, people of such caliber that I do not think we would ever conquer this country unless. So now he is saying, what is the secret to opening this country for foreign rule? Unless we break the very backbone of this nation, which is her spiritual and cultural heritage. And therefore, I propose that we replace her old and ancient education system, her culture, for if the Indians think that all that is foreign and English is good and greater than their own, they will lose their self-esteem, their native culture, and they will become what we want them, that is a truly dominated nation. This is not somebody who is saying now. This is not somebody who is trying to introduce cable television into India. Cable TV people got their idea long back ago, in 1835. It's just that they implemented it. It's being implemented in a more faster way, at a more faster pace, with the introduction of so many other means of communication. Only thing lacking for the British was means of communication. And in the same sense, in the Oxford University, there is a particular chair or a specific department which is created to study Sanskrit. It was created way back in 1890. And it's still there, it is still there. That chair is called the Bodhen Chair of Sanskrit. So, a department is specifically established. So, what is the purpose of this Bodhen Chair of Sanskrit in Oxford University? At that time, in 1890, Horace Heman Wilson became the Bodhen Professor of Sanskrit at the Oxford University. His successor, Professor Monier Williams, has drawn the attention of scholars to the object of establishment of that chair in the following words. What is the object of that thing? I must draw attention to the fact that I am only the second occupant of the Bodhen chair, and its founder, Colonel Bodhen, stated most explicitly in his will. So this person, they have to pay a particular huge amount to establish this department or this chair, and then they can say, okay, you have to put it on my name or somebody else's name, whatever name. So this person, by his will, he established the department, and in his will, he has written that the special object of this munificent bequest or this particular donation which I have made so that you can establish this particular chair was to promote the translation of scriptures from Sanskrit so as to enable his countrymen, that is the countrymen of Colonel Bodhen, that is the British people, to proceed in the conversion of the natives of India to the Christian religion. So that they can understand what is written in a very superfluous way, very superficial way, not actually understand what it means in the in its entirety, just upper upper se, they will understand, and then they will turn it around and make fun of it or ridicule it in such a way that, as Lord Macaulay said, that they will lose the self-esteem. The natives or the Indians will lose their self-esteem and they will become a truly dominated nation. So we can see, even among so many Indians or Indian so-called scholars, so many people, they just discount what is the true purpose or the true aim of this science presented in the Bhagavad Gita. So sometimes some scholars, they say that this particular Kurukshetra, what is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, Dharma Kshetra, Kurukshetra, this Kurukshetra is a body, and the five Pandavas, they represent the godly qualities among men, and the Kauravas, they represented the evil qualities, and usually there is a fight between the evil and the good, like that they make up so many things. But we can actually see that even within present day India, there is a place known as Kurukshetra. Prabhupada generally points out there is a place within India that there is a place known as Kurukshetra, and even in Kurukshetra, if you go, there are different places, like there is Jyotisar, where actually Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjun, and there are other places where Bhishma Dev was lying on the bed of arrows. So this is not fiction, but still there is actual place called Kurukshetra. And there is an actual place where, you know, all these places are still existent, but still people try to make up some sort of a fictitious story. That Kurukshetra means not a place, there's no place, there's no battlefield, nothing like that. It's just your body, and within your body, and so many like this, they spread ideas. Or somebody talk about, actually it is not Krishna, but we have to actually look at the unborn within Krishna. Wherein Krishna is actually other saying so many places, manmana bhava mad bhakto, become my devotee. Like suppose some person, he is engages some another person to become his servant. He says, become my servant. So if that other person thinks that, okay, I'll become your servant, but actually I'm not your servant, I'm the servant of the unborn within you. So that will be like absolute foolishness. I'm the servant of the unborn within you. He'll say, okay, I will pay the unborn within you. The person will say, okay, if you are the servant of the unborn within you. So this is so straightforward. It's a straightforward spoken English, spoken Sanskrit. That man mana bhava mad bhakto. Bhava mad bhakto. Become mad, my devotee. And still people speculate and make so many things. So therefore, we have to understand that Krishna selected Arjun on this battlefield of Kurukshetra to receive this knowledge, to receive this information. So, why he selected Arjun? Because he is very clear in this verse that he selected Arjun because Arjun is his devotee, Arjun is his friend. So, we have to understand that unless one is a bona fide devotee and intimately related with Krishna, one cannot understand. Even in the 18th chapter, another place, Krishna says, Bhaktyamaham abhijanati yavan yaschasmi tattvataha. So only by devotional service, Bhaktyamaham abhijanati, you will understand me. If you perform devotional service, then only you will understand. And how? Yavan yaschasmi tattvataha. You will understand me completely in truth, in toto. So therefore, what is this bhakti? How do we perform this devotional service? So even for that, there is practical instruction given by the great Prahlad Maharaj at the age of 5 years. Sravanam kirtanam vishno smaranam pada sevanam archanam vandanam dasyam sakhyam atmani vedanam. Iti pumsarpita vishnau bhaktischenavalakshana क्रियेत भगवत अद्धा तन्मन्ये दितमुत्तमम्. सो ही सेज फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल इफ समबडी इज इंटरेस्टेड इन बिकमिंग डिवोटी ऑर टू परफॉर्म डिवोशनल सर्विस द सिंपलेस्ट थिंग ऑर यू कैन बिगिन विथ इज श्रवणम. लाइक ऑल ऑफ अस आर असेंबल्ड हियर टू लिसन श्रवणम अबाउट कृष्णा ऑर द वर्ड स्पोकन बाय कृष्णा टू हियर दोज वर्ड्स. What is Krishna speaking? Why is he speaking? So, Shravanam and then Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. So, by your grace, I am getting an opportunity to speak about Krishna. So, this is also Kirtan about Krishna. So, after a few, in a few moments, after some time, there will also be Kirtan of the holy names of the Lord. So, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. Even Krishna says, Manmana Bhava, Manmana, always think about me, Smaranam, about Krishna. So, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, like devotees are assisting in the Archanam process. Nowadays we have this Chandan Yatra festival going on. So many devotees are sitting here day and night, afternoon, from morning till evening. I am seeing so many devotees, they are coming, they are grinding Chandan for the Lord. And so that is, they are assisting in the Archanam. Vandanam, to sing the glories of the Lord. Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam, to completely surrender oneself to the will of the Lord. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, again, that this is the Vedic process, which Prahlad Maharaj has given. This is the process. And what happens if this process is not there, or if somebody defies this process which is given to develop devotional service, to actually endeavor in some practical devotional service, if somebody defies, then what will happen? Again, that is mentioned, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatriki Vidimvina Aikantiki Harer Bhakti Utpata Eva Kalpate. So if one does not follow the principles, if one does not follow the methods given in the Vedic scriptures, how to become a devotee, how to practically engage in devotional service, and just concocts their own method, then utpata eva kalpate, without taking recourse to Shruti, without following the guidelines given in the Smriti, if somebody just out of their own whims and fancies concocts or manufactures their own process of performing devotional service, okay, I think this is how I will do my devotional service, then utpata eva kalpate, it will only cause so much chaos in the society. So therefore, we have to understand from this Bhagavad Gita that, as I mentioned in the beginning, at the start, Krishna says in the second chapter, we are not this body, we are this spirit soul which is resident within this body. And after understanding what is our true nature, we have to understand what is our relationship with the Supreme, first and foremost. So on three levels, first we have to understand what is our sambandha. I am the spirit soul, okay, and Lord is standing, you are saying he is God, okay. So what is our relationship? And based on that relationship, we have to act according to that relationship. So you are the spirit soul and this Supreme Personality of Godhead. Our relationship is Jivera Swarubhoy Nitya Krishna Das. And therefore, because you are servant of Krishna, to engage ourselves on that platform of service to the Lord. That is, how do we engage ourselves in devotional service as the method given by, according to the method given by Prahlad Maharaj? That is, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. And a more simpler method, which is the topmost method and which constitutes the first two Sravanam Kirtanam. And which is specifically recommended for this age of Kali Yuga. Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nastyeva, 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 Gati Ranyatha. So this is the very simplest process of engaging in these first two steps, Shravanam and Kirtanam. And that is Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama Eva Kevalam. Just like I said, there is, you know, more, what is that, secret, more secret and most secret, superlative. Similarly, in Sanskrit, if somebody, something has to be emphasized really thoroughly on a superlative scale, then it is repeated thrice in the same sloka. So, Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama, and again, more emphasis, Eva, only this. Kevala, again, only this. So, the emphasis is really heavy on this. Kalau Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva. There is no other way, no other way, no other way in this age of Kali Yuga. Gati Ranyatha. So, chanting the holy names of the Lord is the easiest process of engaging in this method of Shravanam Kirtanam, beginning our journey in this process of Shravanam Kirtanam, then automatically Vishnu Smaranam, if we engage in this particular process. And then we can go on ahead into the higher and higher realms of devotional service. But beginning with Shravanam. And all over the world, Srila Prabhupada, he has established these centers and he has always, even from the very beginning of his days, whenever he would go somewhere and he would feel the audience is really not in a consciousness or in a state to understand any philosophy or any philosophical discussion, then he would just turn to his disciples and he would say, start Kirtan. Because that is the only thing which would calm down or which would bring them to a state where somebody can understand. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in his Shishtashtakam, first and foremost, first verse Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Cheto Darpana Marjanam Bhavamaha Davagni Nirvapanam. So this particular Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. So this particular Sri Krishna Sankirtan, this has the power for Cheto Darpana Marjanam. So first and foremost, these holy names, if somebody chants these holy names, it begins the process of Cheto Darpana Marjanam, of cleansing the mirror of the heart of all the dust that has accumulated in this lifetime and over so many previous lifetimes. And by that cleansing, then that person slowly understands and becomes ready to understand this transcendental science which is given by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. And by understanding this transcendental science, people can actually understand what is their true nature, what is their relationship with God, and endeavor in a more educated, knowledgeable way in this particular endeavor, they can go ahead. Otherwise, there are so many people out there with so many of their own propaganda, their own agenda to trap you, to take you to some other way. So we have to be very careful, and if you want to get the maximum benefit and understand the rahasya or the mystery within this book, it is an open mystery. Even though you have a book in your hand, generally, I mean, it doesn't come to that level. First of all, people find it very difficult just to open this book. And even after they open the book, okay, one page, two page, but to actually study it, so many people I know, they have this experience. They say, what mystery? First of all, I really have to struggle to open the book. Bhagavad Gita is something, okay, it's nice, I understand. So many people around the world, intellectuals, Albert Einstein, Mahatma Gandhi, so many people, they used to read. But, I mean, my mental capacities, I mean, I don't have that level of intelligence. Like we have this pastime from Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling in South India. So therefore, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling in South India, he saw a Brahmin. He was not a highly educated Brahmin person, but then he had one book in his hand, and the book was Bhagavad Gita. And he was trying to recite the words from the Bhagavad Gita, but since he was not very highly educated in Sanskrit, he could not recite properly. And because he could not recite properly, other Brahmanas who were sitting next to him, they were making a lot of fun of him. But still, he was completely engrossed, completely rapt attention. He was trying to read. And in the process, tears were flowing down his eyes. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw this Brahmana, he said, "What are you reading, which is causing you so much ecstasy?" So he said, "Actually, I am not so much educated in Sanskrit, so I cannot read this properly. But still, my spiritual master, he has told me that I have to read this regularly, every day, so I am making an effort. But what is actually causing these tears to flow from my eyes is that when I think that how much the Lord becomes subordinated to his devotee, that he accepts to take the role of a charioteer or chariot driver for his devotee, that is what really makes me so much, I just can't stop the tears." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, "This is, you have achieved the perfection, because even though technically you are not so much qualified in the sense that you can read it very properly, you can understand the grammar or you can understand the Sanskrit words, but still, because you have received it as an instruction from your spiritual master and you are following it sincerely, therefore you are experiencing these ecstatic symptoms. So therefore we have to understand that it is not just great scholarship, because we have seen in the past there are so many scholars, so many other people, I just also give you some examples. They have studied it in and out, they know it left, right, center. So-called they know it, but actually they don't know it at all. So therefore, the mystery of the wield, if the person who is trying to read the Bhagavad Gita, he fits the qualifications which are given by Krishna himself. So Krishna himself gives the qualification. Bhakto sime sakha cheti rahasyam hi etad uttamam. This very ancient science of relationship with the Supreme is today told by me to you. Krishna is saying, I am telling you, I am revealing this knowledge to you today. Why? Because you are my devotee, bhakta, sime, sakha cheti, and as well as my friend. You are my devotee as well as my friend. Friend, also, you can understand that as Krishna says ahead in other verses, idam tute guhyatamam pravakshami anasuyave. I am telling you this guhyatamam, most confidential knowledge, again he emphasizes, because anasuyave, because you are without envy for me, you are not at all envious of me. So, I am telling you this because you are my devotee and you are my friend, and therefore you can understand the transcendental mystery of this science. So it behooves us to try to become a devotee of Krishna by following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj and beginning this process by chanting and hearing the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And thereby trying to perfect our life and establish our relationship with Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions or comments, you can have some time.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Very nice lecture. Prabhuji, you said it's emphasized the holy name, no? Only Kevalam, only the way, only the way. Similarly, the Christians also say that Jesus is only the way. So, it seems that at times the scriptures are contradicting. So, can you just elaborate, sir?
See, Like for example, in the University of Mumbai, there are courses where they run courses on for English literature, MA, PhD level courses for English literature. So a person who is enrolled in such a course, maybe somebody is doing PhD in English literature, their expected level of vocabulary is at least 1 lakh words or above. They are supposed to be conversant or knowledgeable. So if you have a person, like if you go into a shop, specifically a bookshop, you will find Oxford University Press. They are very famous for printing dictionaries. So what happens? You ask them, give me dictionary. Or which dictionary? So you'll wonder, what do you mean? Okay, give me English dictionary, English to English language dictionary. So again you'll ask, which English to English language dictionary? So there is pocket English to English, then there is learners, there is advanced learner, and then there is medical English dictionary, then now you have Indian words in English dictionary, then you have so many other, dictionary of American slang in English. All are English dictionaries. Then you have some English dictionaries which are really used by those people who I mentioned, those who are doing PhDs in English literature. Those dictionaries will be, real huge dictionaries with more than 100,000, 200,000 words in them, which more than half of those words usually people don't use in their common usage. So what do you want to say? That why there are so many English dictionaries? Because depending upon the time, place and the circumstance and the audience to which that particular book is catering to, you have to have a different dictionary. You cannot give the English dictionary which is being used by a person who is doing PhD in English literature to a small kid who is studying in school who wants a pocket dictionary level of understanding. Even if you look up the same word in the pocket dictionary and the dictionary which is used by professionals, the explanation which will be given will be the language used in the other dictionary will be much heavier than what a school kid can understand. So you cannot give that. You have to give pocket dictionary because the explanation will be in a language or in a level which that particular audience or that particular small child can understand. Similarly, there are scriptures all over the world which cater to different people according to different time, place and circumstances. And depending upon the audience, the scriptures which are what? Scriptures which are actually the word of God. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. So, the words of God are presented in such a way that the audience can understand it, audience can take it. So therefore, if you say that some other people, they say, Jesus, only Jesus, only Jesus. So therefore, that is like, we have to understand that is what they have understood from what they are reading from their scripture. That is not wrong. Like what explanation is given in pocket dictionary, that definition is not wrong. But you can have a more complete understanding also from some other book or a more high level understanding. Like there is one type of dictionary which is called an etymological dictionary, which explains the word roots, from where each word is come. Which explains, if you take each word in English, from which Latin word or from which Greek word or from which Spanish word, from where, what is the origin, what is the root of that word, that is explained. And if somebody tries to explain that, of a simple word like food, someone looks up for a pocket dictionary, it resembles the thing which you eat to derive energy. That's very simple. But if somebody looks up in the etymological dictionary, why that particular thing is called food only? How that word food came up? It will have a detailed explanation about that. So you can have more detailed understanding also. And somebody understands more detail, they can use it in more detailed way. So it doesn't necessarily mean if somebody says, it only indicates a lack of knowledge, lack of understanding, more importantly a lack of tolerance, that there can be something which is more correct or more detailed. That's all. If somebody actually emphasizes or insists in this way, that this is the only way, that actually is an indication of lack of knowledge and actually lack of tolerance on their part, that there can be some other thing also which can be better. So I hope I have answered your question. Any other questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thanks for a wonderful class. I was just wondering, I'm sorry, I always wonder, that 6,000 years ago, Krishna's name was not there, or was there, I don't know. Maybe there was, but I guess that time people used to worship Vishnu. But we consider Krishna as Godhead, me too, thoroughly, and Vishnu as a manifestation of, or Krishna stepping into another body, simple. I wanted to know that if the sloka which you just said about Eva Kevalam, meaning no other name and only Krishna, then what about people? What about people?
That sloka mentions Harer Nama, Harer yeah. Nama, Harer Nama Eva Kevalam.
Okay.
Yeah. Didn't mention Krishna anyway. I mean, for your information.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's not about Krishna.
No, so go on. What your class?
No, that's all I wanted to know.
What? It is about Krishna because there is another verse which supports this particular thing, this particular sloka. In Kali Santaran Upanishad, there is one verse which very specifically mentions the verse or these holy names of the Lord. Harer Nama means names of Hari. That's what it says. But somebody might ask, okay, if it's name of Hari, then why you're not chanting Hari, Hari, Hari? So there is one specific shloka in Kali Santaran Upanishad, which is an Upanishad, as the name suggests, Kali Santaran. The Upanishad which is supposed to help you cross over this Kali Yuga, this very difficult age of quarrel and hypocrisy. And in this Upanishad, it very clearly states, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, इति षोडशक नामनाम कली कल्मश नाशनम नातो परतर उपायो सर्व वेदेषु दृश्यते. सो इट सेज दिस इति षोडशक नामनाम, दिस 16 सिलेबल मंत्र व्हिच इज प्रीवियसली मेंशन. सो इट एक्चुअली मेंशन्स द होल मंत्र एंड देन इट सेज दिस 16 सिलेबल मंत्र इति षोडशक नामनाम कली कल्मश नाशनम इज द मोस्ट इफेक्टिव वे टू डिस्ट्रॉय ऑल द ill effects, kalmasha, of Kali Yuga, of the age of Kali. Nato paratara upayo, there is no paratara upay, there is no other way. And whose opinion in this? This is the opinion of sarva vedeshu drishyate. This is the opinion of all the Vedic literatures. So therefore, if you are asking why we are specifically chanting Hare Krishna, that is what you are aiming at. Am I right? Then.
Yeah. Not really. I just wanted to know that whether the people before Krishna came on earth, were they chanting on Krishna or there was some other name? As you clearly mentioned that it wasn't. It was about Hari name. Meaning.
No. It was the names of Krishna.
Names so, of Krishna, but not yeah. Krishna.
Yeah. But this in the Upanishad is very specifically mentioned, this mantra. It is very specifically mentioned. And actually, there are so many other facets to what you are asking.
So do they go before 6,000, meaning 6,000 years back?
Yeah. So if you are asking that question, then in very brief, I would say that every age, there are four ages, Satya, Treta, Dwapar, Kali. So in every age, the specific method to attain the realization, God realization, is different. Because the capabilities and the abilities of the people living in each age are different. And the environment and the surrounding, they are different. So therefore, according to every age, it changes. Satyuga, the method to become God-realized, different. Treta is different. Dwapar is different. Kali Yuga is different. So specifically, that verse which I mentioned is talking about Kalau Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva. In Kali Yuga, there is no other way. So this particular method of chanting the holy names of the Lord is prescribed for the Kali Yuga. The method to become God-realized, or to understand who is God, what is our relationship, and to act on that particular understanding is different in Satyuga, Treta Yuga, and Kali Yuga. So if you are asking me, people who are chanting, those who are devotees, they are chanting always the names of the Lord. But specifically, this Hare Krishna Mahamantra which we chant is the mantra which is recommended for this Kali Yuga. And that is the recommended method, procedure for this Kali Yuga to become God-realized and self-realized. So therefore,
made after 6,000 years. Meaning
it's not made, it's always there. Vedic literatures are not something which are made up.
Okay.
After a particular time, new edition. No, it's the same. No new editions. No new editions of Oxford, like Oxford University Press brings out new edition of dictionary every year or every 2 years. It's not like that. Or because every 2 years new slang words or new words from Hindi, Marathi are introduced into English. Nothing like that. These are there,
so
the
then,
way they...
How come Krishna came 5,000 years back, 5,500 years back? So, in this Mahamantra, there is Krishna mentioned clearly. So,
he came to this,
man...
He came to this earthly planet 5,500 years back.
Oh, okay.
He's always there in his own planet, in his spiritual world. Golok Vrindavan, he always eternally exists.
So, people were aware of the devotees...
Of course.
5,000, 6,000 years back. About Krishna?
Because the Vedic literature are always available.
Okay.
Shruti, Smriti, they are always available. So those who have the knowledge, they will always know. If you want, we can continue this discussion later, because mostly now the darshan will open in another few minutes. We can continue. You can meet me later.
Right.
Okay. And we will continue the discussion. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.
Radha Dyuti Prabhu ki
jai!